Well, good morning. It's good to see you all this morning, and this bright sun shining makes me happy to see it. It's wonderful. I don't know about you, but I don't like crawling in dark places. I had this light to guide me the other day. I had to go under the house in a crawl space, and it's dark. I don't know what's there. I don't know what kind of spiders or other critters are there or other people, all I know. Don, where are you? Where's Don? Oh, Don. to get in there, I had to get this, first of all, getting through the space was an issue. I'm not as nimble as I used to be. I know some of you just dive right through it. I had to kind of go, oh, and I got stuck for a little bit. And I was going, and I had to fight through it. And I finally got on my hands and knees and did the army crawl. And praise the Lord, the guys that lived before us, they put down this nice thick plastic. So, you're not on the dirt and the rock as much, So that made it a little bit easier, praise the Lord. And then I had to go all the way to the farthest point, to find it. And this little light. And, of course, my eyes aren't the best. And when you go in the dark and you can't really see that well. And even with a light like this, you couldn't really see that well. So I didn't know what was coming at me. I used to live in some strange places like Thailand. And you go into dark places and dark things come at you. It was kind of interesting moment. But then my eyes started to adjust a little bit more and the light was shining a little bit better. And I got to the valve and I was able to have success and turn off the water and praise the Lord. And then when I got outside of that, that crawl space and the light, and you just kind of go, yes, life is good. Have you felt that before? Have you ever been in those dark places? Yes, dark places, and there's no light. And you don't have a light. And you might try to look for one, I think I remember there's a match somewhere or there's a flashlight, but there's no light, And you're hoping that either you find something or somebody opens up the door, the lights turn on or whatever it is in your moment. But in our lives, we face darkness and light. And if there's a physical darkness and a physical light, and also there's a spiritual darkness and a spiritual light. And we saw that begin in the Garden of Eve, right? Eden, sorry, not Eve. Garden of Eve. But that's when the light and the darkness came together, right? The darkness came into the garden to deceive, and the light was there to give life. But Adam and Eve chose death, actually. Did you know that? They chose death over life. And we're dealing with it today as a consequence of that decision of theirs. Not that we would do any better. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't even be putting on fig leaves. I'd be running around naked. Hey, God, look at me. Hey, I'm going to zap you, boy. Bing, like that. God is so gracious, isn't he? Because he could have zapped them. He could have zapped those guys. He could have said, Adam, if you did it, you're done for it because it's death, and so you deserve to die. Bing, bye-bye. That's all he had to do. But he didn't do that. His grace and mercies abound, and he has a bigger plan. And praise the Lord for that. Last week, we were talking a little bit about, a lot about this big, vast God. And how he shows his love for us is he came and he made himself our size to walk amongst us. And then he went even further than that, and he decided to indwell in his people that he has chosen to be his very own. That's a lot of love. I don't know about you, a big God and coming down to be a little person and then coming inside of me? Wow, that's a lot of love. Well, this passage here, we'll see a little bit more of how God loves us. And as we go through it, I believe God will show us and the Holy Spirit will reveal some wonderful things for us as well. Let's pray before we continue on. Father, thank you for the hope. Thank you for the peace that we have in Christ. Thank you for this time in your word that we can hear your voice through your word, through your spirits moving amongst us, that you will open our hearts and minds to these things, to receive them. Receive them and live in them and live empowered by your word. For this world needs light, and you are the light of the world. So we just thank you, Lord. Empower us, guide us in our learning, and may your name be glorified in all of this. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So it begins there in verse 4, in him, and in him means in Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of mankind. The light shines, right? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Well, what is this light? Well, like I said, there's a physical light, but there's also a spiritual light as well. And when you look at this light that they're talking about in the Bible, it has a real beneficial meaning for humanity. There's well-being for us when we talk about life and light. They kind of come together. Because when we think about how God created the whole creation here, and think about our little earth amongst it all, we would be like Mars. Actually, we wouldn't even be there. We'd be dead. Because without a special light from the sun at the right distance and all that, and at the right angle that our earth is at, life would not exist here, as we see in so many other places around our solar system. So he gives light to give life. And he knew he needed to send light into this world. In fact, a guy named David, something came over him inside his heart, and he had to proclaim this word. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. He is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I fear, right? Of whom shall I be afraid? And there's a great proclamation in that. And he sees this light. And he sees something very special in that. And then John, the Baptist, sees the light, and he gives witness to it. And it's not just a normal light. It's interesting there in verse 8. Did you notice? On verse 9, did you notice that? It's not just a light. What is it? It's a true light. Whoa. Well, what's that about? So this light is so bright, just like my light in the dark crawl space and stuff of that, to help out. Well, I could see it, but I couldn't see very well. But why can't we see this light, the spiritual light? I mean, it's so bright. It should be so bright and so powerful and so overwhelming. And yet, mankind, men and women, boys and girls, miss it. What's going on? It's a light. There. You can see it right there. Should be that easy. You know, turn on the lights. Bing, like that. It should be that easy. I should be able to just turn on my spiritual light inside me. Doing, yeah, I got this. No, it's not like that, is it? I didn't find that in my life. I don't know about you. I wasn't able to turn on any light. In fact, I turn on darkness. In fact, in the word, in 3:19, it says this. Do you want to know what his eyes like? And I'm saying me, but I can say everybody else, like Don, Sharon, and all these other people, too. This is me. This is Joy's dad's, I think, his favorite verse. Right, Joey? This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. People loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Did you hear my evil laugh? love darkness. Yeah, we love darkness. We don't want our sins, our frailty, our weakness, our humanness, our more you know, or anything that, you know, that we're mortal and all that. We don't want that exposed. And the light does that. And not only a physical light, but a spiritual light goes and dwells in places that we don't want anybody to know about. But we like to live there, right? We're just protecting ourselves. We're just protecting our own pride and such as that. So the darkness, as you can tell, is evil, right? It's actually darkness was brought in by the devil, Satan himself, because he rebelled against God. And he was thrown down, and he brought darkness, rebellion, and all the evil that came with that, with him, into this world. You see, there in this verse, it says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Well, people go, well, what's that about? Light shining in darkness, that's good, isn't it? But and the darkness can't overcome it. What's going on there? Well, there's a battle. There's a conflict. You know what the conflict is about? You know what it's about? What's the conflict about? Good and evil. What else? What is it for? What is this battle, this conflict for between light and darkness? What is it for? Huh? Our souls. Can you see Darth Vader and Luke going at it? You know, the darkness and the light. You know, and Lord of the Rings, you know, you have Gandalf the Grey and then he became Gandalf the White. And you have all these references of light and darkness. We can't get away from it. And it's over our souls, our very souls. And so this darkness of skepticism and unbelief tries to overcome the true light. The darkness of pride and hard-heartedness tries to overcome the light. The darkness of ignorance and confusion is trying to overcome the light. Do you see the fight going on here? I can take it to some scriptures here. In Ephesians 2, just the first few verses there kind of bring some light to this subject here. If I can find it. I know I marked a lot today. Looks like we're all over the place in the Bible today. It says this, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for the sake of you Gentiles. Let's see, am I in the right place here? Oh, sorry, verse 2. Chapter 2, I'm sorry. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. All right, that's the devil, that's the dark one. We're following the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So if you're disobedient, who are you following? You're following the dark side, right? All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. That's the darkness, right? All of that coming at us. And then you go to 1 Corinthians, and 1 Corinthians 1:18 just has a short quip, but it's very important. It says this, the message of the cross. See, this is what happens, all right? So you got this darkness, and you got our pridefulness and the confusion and the skepticism, the unbelief, all that stuff. And it's just causing all sorts of issues, and we're being influenced by the enemy. And I don't know about you. Have you ever done laser tag? Because laser tag, they have blue light, right? So you can, you know, but it's not a true light. It's blue light. You can see enough. I could see Lily enough to wallop her. You know, get a lot of points from her. I know I whooped you badly, and maybe Carly, I don't know what it was. And so for that, I remember those times. You guys were crying, and we had to stop and all that stuff. I think it was something like that. I can't remember. Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about that later. And so you got the blue light, and you got the red light. You know, the red light's special because, you know, when we were in Florida, and we were on vacation, and we had a little B&B Airbnb on the beach. And on that beach, in that area, Floridana, I think it's called, they had big sea turtles that would come up and lay eggs during sometime in a dark night and 2 a.m, whatever. So if you wanted to see them, yeah, they say, don't take your flashlight and shine them. You know, that's just, you know, blinds them or whatever, it scares them, whatever. You know, take the red light and go out there. So you take a red light and you can see enough to where you're walking, and poof, there he is, a big boy. You know, it's just this big old, I mean, this turtle was, I don't know, just big along, right, Joy? It was huge. I was going, wow, that's a dinosaur. Almost never seen anything that big out in the wild. So that was pretty wonderful. Something, an elephant, I guess. But, you know, that was wonderful. But that was not a true light either. See, if I really wanted to light it up, then I turn on the sun. Then I get the light in there. So then 118 is, you know, there's all this confusion. So you got this darkness. We're being influenced by the enemy. And this world, see, the enemy masquerades light. See, he'll use the blue and the red light to cause us to follow this way or that way, all right, in this world. He'll entice us and say, hey, you know, don't worry about that. You get involved in all these things. Go entertainment, sports, whatever. You know, get, you know, go family, whatever. Go, you're always camping all the time. Go on this, that, you know, food. Just go to the bank, go to work all the time. Go to school, education, all that stuff. All that stuff, all the time. Don't worry about this other stuff. See, he's just drawing us in. It's going, yeah. I know they're followers of Christ, but I'm gonna move them. I'm gonna show them other things. I'm gonna give them this light. They think it's really good for them, and they're really pouring their lives in it, so they don't pour their lives into something even more important, and that's the kingdom of light. And a lot of times when we go out in the world, you know what we do, and we go and do our little programs and jobs and schooling and all these other entertainment things that we do, we leave God back home. So now we just walk in the darkness, and we're in the blue and the red light. And people really can't see much difference in us. In fact, they got blue and red light going on too, probably. They don't really see what's going on. See, but when we bring Christ with us into these places that we go to and spend time in, then there's light. Because Christ is the light of the world, right? He said that. And it's not just a physical light, but he's a spiritual light. And people will notice things, and they'll see the way you're doing, you're praying or talking certain ways, or even when the team loses or things at the job just aren't going well, they see how you respond, and they can tell the difference between a kingdom of light and a kingdom of darkness. They might not know what it means, but they can tell there's something there. See, there's this huge struggle going on. And then he got this: for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So when you're walking in the darkness, all this talking about Jesus is foolishness. Yeah, you know that. You talk to people. And 2 Corinthians 4:4 kind of explains a little bit more. I love jumping around the Bible. the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Did you hear that? So the God of this age, which is the devil, has blinded the minds of unbelievers. And I was there for many, many years, till 29 years old, because I knew there is a God, but I didn't believe. There's something about belief, and I just couldn't get it. I went to church at times as later, but there's something there. Just there's something like a film, a wall that just blocked my heart from being able to accept these things and to actually follow through in obedience and putting it into action. There's something that blocked me. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel. So if you're hanging out and you know your family and friends and coworkers and classmates and all teammates and all that stuff around you, and they're just, and you say, well, why are you like that? Well, now you know why. They're blinded. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are blind to the spiritual matters. You cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. They can't see God. Even if it's beautiful clouds, even something, so wonderful, and all the creation around them, or the word spoken to them so wonderfully, or prayed over them, and they'll still be going like this. What? Yeah. We were teenagers, right? It's kind of like you ask them a question. What? And if you say Jesus, you might get the answer right. Most of the time, right? I think so, yeah. It works out that way. So it's really bad. This is bad. Sam's going over Romans, and it's so bad. The first few chapters, you just feel like you're really, man, I just, so much conviction and just feeling so, And so just a desperate no-win situation that we're in, right? We can't get out of it. And then even worse, as we read on here, the true light came to everyone who was coming into the world. He was in the world through the world. Though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Because why? They are blinded. Right? He came to that which of his own. They had the prophecies and the laws and all that stuff. The promises and all that. They have Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and all those other prophets and all those David and all those Psalms and stuff like that. And they're still, what does it say? But his own did not receive him. Because of what? They're blinded by the enemy. Yet, to all who did receive him, there's something more there. See, there is a true light. Zechariah saw it. See, in Luke 1, I think it's Zechariah's song, is it? Zechariah's song, yes. The dad of John the Baptist. And the Holy Spirit spoke through him. And he said simply this, he said a lot of things, but then at 78 and 79, there are verses there. It says, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. See, there's a but God in here. we're overcome. The enemy, you know, he's got us. He influences us. He blinds us. We have no clue when we don't, when, you know, we just, as unbelievers, we can't have it. We can't get there. We can't break through the wall on our own. There's no way. You can't win this on your own. And but God sees this. But God knows this. And then he sends the light, the true light, and that Zechariah spoke about, and that John the Baptist was witnessing about. You know, here's the light. And later on he says, hey, that's the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sins of the world. You know, that's him. I see the light. You know, it's interesting. And it's, I don't know if it's scary. I call it more mysterious. But your salvation, my salvation, if you're saved, you had nothing to do with it. Did you know that? The more and more I read of this word, the more I hear testimonies of others, it just confirms it more and more. We had nothing to do with it. It was such a gift to us. And a mystery happened. You know, Jesus has come and he went into battle for us. We didn't turn to God, but God turned to us and pursues us. There's no one, when you look at Romans, and I think it's chapter 3, it talks about no one seeks God. So how can we get to him? How can we get to him? It's impossible for us to get to him. There's too much against us. The Satan is just too powerful for us. Well, Jesus is what the answer is. See? Jesus, he's the answer. He came into the world as that light in the darkness to break down the darkness. He went to battle for us. And Hebrews 10, 5, 6, I'll just read that to you. 4, is it 10? Yes. Somewhere in here. Here we are. It says this, Jesus. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said this, listen, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God. That's Jesus. He was given a body. You know, God, you know, he said, well, how am I going to rescue these guys? Well, he had a plan. He says, well, I'm coming down and I'm going to give myself a body. Just like everybody else. And I'm going to go to battle for you. And so what is it? It's a rescue mission. Did you know that? It's a rescue mission. If you looked at Colossians, there's a little, one of my favorite verses here, really. It says this. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Rescue mission. Jesus coming in battle for us to win us over, to bring us out of that kingdom of darkness that we're blinded and we're influenced and we're just all tangled and tangled up in. And he's the only one that can come in there and shine light and start untying our binds and breaking the chains and bringing us out of that darkness and into his kingdom of light, which is life, life everlasting. And yet that's a mystery. Because you know what they call it? The doctrine of regeneration. And some of you would say, born again. See, before that, God was talking to a man named Ezekiel. Do you remember that wonderful chapter? The Valley of the Dry Bones. them bones, dry bones. Don't you love it? And he asked the Son of Man, this is Ezekiel, the Son of Man there, can these bones live? Because they had all these bones out there, dry bones. I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Hey, that's a good answer. mathematical equations, and it's kind of like, not. The answer is no. For humans, X, all that stuff, right? That's it. But he says, no, you, God, you know. And then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. Wait a second. Time out. Psalm? Wait, I didn't have to do anything? I didn't have to do anything? Did I have to raise my hand? Yeah, I got it. No, I didn't have to raise my hand. I didn't have to sing real pretty. I didn't even have to go to church. I don't even have to know the doctrine of justification by faith. I don't have to be a good boy for Santa. I don't have to have a lot of money. I don't have to have skin color didn't matter. Nothing. Age doesn't matter. SAT scores don't matter. Things like that. Time out. What? The word of the Lord is spoken. He spoke, and what happened when God spoke? What happened? Creation came into being. He speaks, and the breath of life enters us. See, that's the doctrine of regeneration right there. We had nothing to do with it. It is a mystery. If you can tell me what it's like, then let's talk. Because I can't understand it other than God's grace and mercy is that much for us. And that's for everybody. And I don't know why, as Ezekiel's kind of going, dry bones, breathe, okay, I'll speak these words. And, you know, of course, you know, I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So it's coming from Him alone. We will know that He is the Lord. He's breaking through the darkness because only He can break through the darkness. There's no thing we can do to get through the darkness. We can't even help Him get through the darkness because He is the one who breaks through the darkness. By His word, by the light of His Son, Jesus Christ, who is the true light in this world. You see, Nicodemus was scratching his head there in John 3. Do you remember that? Jesus talking to him, and he's talking about, well, you got to be born again if you want to get in the kingdom of God. He's going, yeah. Jesus, you are crazy. Really? He has no clue. And then it says, then Jesus continues on. He says, well, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So I don't know. And when I'm out there, I don't know how, you know, where the Spirit is moving. And I don't know when He's going to shine His light and illuminate somebody else to know the Lord as Savior and God. sometimes it's surprising when you hear testimonies and you're kind of going, what? You know, you don't deserve it. But they're saved amazingly. Or, oh, this person really deserves it. And they're still just walking in blindness. Nobody deserves it. God just gives it out of his grace. And Nicodemus is going, huh? And that guy, you know that rocker, that guy named Alice Cooper? Yeah, did you know that? He was a church boy. He grew up in a church, and his parents, or his dad was the evangelist. Did you know that? And so his life is sordid, but you know what? Do you know what he said, his testimony? Because he is a follower of Christ. And he said something. Now, I might not have all the words perfect, but he said this. He says his testimony about who Jesus is to him. He says, he changes your heart. He changed my heart. Something happens to your heart, and you realize who he is and is what he has done. So something just, all of a sudden, something happens. And he just realized, you're God. You're God. You're the one that'll save me. And that light he talked about is what draws people to himself. See, no one can come to the Father unless they come through the Son, and it's only through the Father that draws people. So you put one and one together and you equals two, right? You got the Father and you got the Son, and there's all that working together. You got to have them working together, drawing us. We're not seeking him and we don't do anything for it. There is a mystery going on there by God's grace in our lives, because you know what? Remember the thief on the cross? Do you remember him? There's two of them, and Jesus was in the middle of them there. If you looked at Luke chapter 23, it says this, there in verse 39, it says, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him and at Jesus. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. Okay, kind of demanding, right? This guy's hanging on the cross. He's kind of a demanding guy. And then it says, but the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said, since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered, well, you got to you got to be baptized. You have to go through classes. You have to read your Bible all the way through three times. And you have to carry a rock about 50 pounds on your back for 300 years for you to get in. No. Jesus said, he didn't say that, did he? He says, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Do you see how it's working now? He went into, to show this awesome love to us. He came and he went to battle for us, and he went on the cross for us, and he died in our place because we deserve death instead of him. He died in our place, and he rose again on the third day because not even death could hold him down. And he won the victory for us. He brought us out of that kingdom of darkness into his kingdom of light because of his grace and mercy. That's all you can say. And what was that? Alistair Begg, he was talking about this. He said, I wish I could talk with this guy, this thief. Because I could see him coming in angels. Angels going, well, how did you get here? And he's going, well, he's kind of see speeches. They say, do you know, the Bible? Do you know all these doctrines and things? He's going, I haven't heard about that, He hasn't heard anything about that. He didn't know the doctrine of salvation or any other thing like that. He just, and but they said, well, how did you get here? And he said, well, the man on the middle cross told me I could come. The man on the middle cross told me I can come. That's how you were saved, and that's how I was saved. I don't know. A lot of people, you know, talk to me and they say, well, are there miracles anymore today? And I go, look in the mirror. And that's a great miracle right there, that you ever can be called a child of God, as they say here. Because it's a powerful and wonderful process here, isn't it? To be called a child of God. You have to do all these, running through all these hoops, don't you? But it doesn't really say that, does it? He came to his own, and it says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. So what do we do with this? Well, you know those glow toys, you know, those little things that you put in your light and then you put them in a dark room and they glow, you know that? Well, see, when you look at this salvation that we have in Christ, first of all, we should be excited. We should be in awe every day that we get to be called a child of God, a daughter and son of the Most High Creator God. There should be excitement and joy no matter what we face in the day. There should always be an excitement to know that we have a place waiting for us because of his great love. And then when we think about ourselves and we want to shine with the light of Christ, well, we have to think of ourselves as being one of those glow toys. Because the closer you get to the light and the longer you're there, the brighter you shine. So if you spend a little bit of time with Jesus and you go into the darkness, and what do you think happens? The other people are looking and they're in the darkness, they're going, I need light. And they might see a little blue, but they don't know what it is. It's not bright enough for them. See, but when you spend the time with the Lord in word and in prayer and in service and honoring him in your life, in your words, and your deeds, and your thoughts, and all that, you know, as you're drawing, and you're making he becomes the priority of your life. Well, you're just soaking it up, like Moses. He had to put a veil over his face because people were afraid of him, because his face glowed each time he went to meet with the Lord. And so when you go into that dark world called the United States, called Bellefonte, called Snowshoe, State College, Pennsylvania, this is the only light you can go to and be safe, I think. But anywhere you go, you bring the light of Christ with you. And people in the darkness, they're gonna see this light. What is it about you? What is it about you? And then, you know, in hopes that one day, as we pray and as God uses us to be a light amongst the people around us, that they will proclaim just like David did. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. And as an abundant love, it's a love that we can't grasp. It says there in Ephesians 3, it's just such a great love. Oh boy, Father, may we rejoice in that love of yours. for you went to battle for us, and you won the victory for us, and you saved us by your amazing grace. That is so wonderful just to think about. May we cherish your love moment to moment, day to day. And may we shine with your light, the light of Christ, as we spend that time, as you become more and more of our priority in our lives, that we can shine in the lives of others who need the light as well. There's so many out there walking in darkness. They don't know the way to life. May we be those who will shine brightly with Christ's light, pointing the way to him so others can be saved as well as we. Father, we just pray that, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, and all of his people say, amen.